This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hi everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Office Manager Diaries. It's Hannah Gray, your host here, and this episode I'm joined by Emma Hunt, who is the sub-regional office manager at AZETS. Hello Emma.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, are you?
I am very well, thank you. I know everyone says it, I was just saying to Emma before, everyone says it on this podcast before we start that they're a bit nervous, and I don't think there's many people that haven't told me that before, and I just say it's just a conversation between you and I, no one's listening, it's fine. You've got about 5,000 listeners, it's no problem. It's, at all,
it'll be fine, it'll be fine.
Well, anyway, welcome to the Office Manager Diaries, Emma, and thank you for giving up your time to be with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's kick off with how you came across the Office Management Group in the first place. It's been a while since you and I first connected, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so it was mainly through LinkedIn I came across it. I've seen lots of peer networks around the country. There's quite a few in the Greater Manchester area, but there was nothing set up specifically for office managers. So when I saw the Office Management Group, I was absolutely thrilled that there was a network and a platform where, you know, people in this role could connect and be recognised as well. I think being an office manager is such a unique role in the admin world. And yeah, it's just great to be part of such a great network.
And you put time, I think, didn't you, in from our website? I think you and I had a virtual chat and just said hi. We clicked and connected. And finally, we've done an event recently in Manchester as well, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah, it's great. I think being an office manager, it takes a certain type of person. You seem to just get it when you meet those people, because it's such a varied role.
Yeah, it takes a certain kind of person to do these jobs. And when you meet those people, there is something quite special that just clicks in place, I think.
Yeah, it was great to meet other people that are in the area, but coming from different roles as well. So there was the lady who was the office manager, but there was a couple of VAs as well. So, and I think being a VA compared to a PA as well is a completely different aspect of similar type of work, but you know, you're coming at it from a different angle. It's all relevant because we all do the same type of stuff, and which can be anything, yeah. To be fair.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's the thing with the virtual assistants, because a lot of the VAs in our network are paying for the premium membership, and they seem to use it for their clients because they're almost doing a little bit of a hybrid assistant slash office management role when it comes to smaller and startup businesses where they do have a physical presence but they don't need someone full-time, so they need a little health and safety policy or whatever. So yeah, it's a real mix, isn't it, of people, but there is still that common ground of finding, like you say, finding your people within the network.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us about you and your role at AZETS. What are you responsible for there? What does it look like?
So I manage two of the largest offices in the Northwest region, and I'm responsible for around 200 fee earners. So it's facilities, health and safety. I manage a team of 8 administrators. So the general day-to-day running of the office, making sure everyone's safe and happy and healthy and, you know, doing the organising the events, internal and external. So I get asked a lot to set up client events. We're just organising one now for about 200 clients and intermediaries, which I'm really looking forward to. I like the bigger ones. They seem easier to manage. But as well, I've been involved in implementing a positive health and safety culture across the whole of AZETS. Got that set up recently, handed that over to a dedicated health and safety manager, which is great because it's it, trying to do that at the side of your desk on top of managing two offices is quite challenging. I've also been involved with setting up the what we call the admin harmonisation project, where we've looked at the role of admin across the business and standardised processes, align job titles and descriptions, give people a clear progression plan. And I think it's elevating the fact that going into administration isn't, just a stopgap job or something that you do while you try and figure life out, which is, to be honest, where I started. It is a career. You can go from data entry clerk and the lower end of the scale all the way up to chief of staff and, be a part of a company's board structure. So yeah, that's been really exciting. I've really enjoyed that. And we're looking to implement phase two now. So we're just in negotiations with that.
It's funny because often when I speak to people, they're either solely office manager or they'll have the assistant side to their role or HR side to their role or finance, event management, where there's lots and lots of events and things. There's often this, what I call the hybrid role, which isn't working from home and working from the office. It's hybrid, as in it's a collection of different roles. And yours is very much this managing eight administrators in the organization. You have a full-on direct reports management type role, as well as managing two sizable offices in all the different aspects, like you've mentioned, they're doing the events, but doing the facilities. We're doing health and safety, which is a huge task in itself, especially when we're talking about those sizes. Fitting in the management side of your role, how do you do that? Because I have managed teams and people in the past, and it is demanding. It can be really grueling at times because when people are facing challenges or feeling a little bit stuck in their career or having personal issues or actually just not performing, it can really absorb a lot of your time. So, how do you balance that with two, like I say, big sizable offices and all the functions within those?
To be honest, my team are my priority. I always make them the priority. I don't think you can be a good manager if you're just not available. They know they can always contact me. I do split my time between the two sites, so I'm visible. I'm lucky in the sense that I do have a good team. That's not to say there aren't things that occur that you have to sort out. But again, that comes from the benefit of having in my previous role. We had really good management training. We were given the skills to be able to function in that role. And I think a lot of the time, people are put into a managerial role and just expected to do it without any guidance or support, just expected to have those soft skills. It didn't come to me naturally at all. When I first started being a people manager, I was terrible. I couldn't understand why everyone wasn't as good as me. And that sounds really big-headed, but I was just like, why can you not do this job? You've been doing it for years, months. However long you've been doing it, what are you not getting? But being able to say that and be with them feeling supported, it just didn't occur to me.
It's empathy, isn't it? It's one of the most important skills to have as a manager is empathy. And I think when you, like you say, without line management training, but also without experience, and I think age and wisdom comes with this as well, where
Absolutely. I mean, I was in my early 20s. I was brand
yeah,
new.
the same as me. I was managing 19 branch secretaries when I was 20 years old. Of all different ages, like Pauline, bless her, was on the verge of retiring and hated my guts because there I am, this 20-year-old flying in and out of the offices, going, right, I'm going to change your IT system because we were on bloody Windows DOS back then. So I upgraded us all to like a colourful computer. This is dial-up days, Emma. But
I remember.
oh, it was all the fun, unplugging the fax machine to plug in the internet for your computer and stuff. But she couldn't stand me. And when she retired, she invited me to her leaving drinks and we were the best buds by the end of it. But I look back then and I think, my God, I probably didn't do some things that well. And obviously it was a different time. We're talking 20 years ago. And it was a different time in terms of how you could behave with staff as well. And that's not to say I did anything inappropriate because I didn't, but just in terms of it was a lot easier to fire and hire. Let's just say that. So you live and learn. Often in office management roles, people perceive it that you are managing, right? When I look at blogs and ChatGPT and what it defines an office manager of, it talks about managing people and being a leader and stuff. And it gets it so wrong in so many spaces because it confuses it with actually managing people in an office. But actually, you do have that element as well as your true core office management role. So, I mean, in terms of the juggling, do you always, like you say, you prioritize the people. So the office management stuff will have to just go to the bottom of the pile that particular day if there are people issues, essentially.
It depends on what the office issues are. I mean, if it's health and safety and it's a risk, then obviously that will take priority. But I think just for your team to see that you're there and you do care, I think a lot of the times issues come from managing people, come from miscommunication and misperception. And just being open and honest with them, it makes that relationship a whole lot easier. I mean, I said to my team, and I've said this to all of them from when I took the role and when I've taken on new members, I've explained to you what's expected of you between these hours to the level, do the work to the level that's expected. If you do that, I don't have to do the part of my job that I don't like, which is being horrible. Not being horrible, but having to manage that.
The
And you don't
nag.
want me to, and you don't want me to do that either. So that's where we're at. And they go, yeah, I understand that. And it just makes things a whole lot simpler. Again, it's just that open communication. So when if they do need me and I am being pulled in another direction, which is more important, they understand that. Getting that balance is actually made quite simple. Just by being honest. Also, not being the person who is perfect. I make mistakes and holding your hands up to that and them seeing that and seeing that you're just human and
Leading by example, right? Which again is
absolutely.
a really key thing. And I always say that, like when we do our training in the advanced level where we touch on leadership and management, I liken it to being in a relationship, right? You have to have good communication, and that's not necessarily a romantic relationship. That can be friendships, relationships with your family, relationships with, more intimate relationships, as it were. The key to all of those is open, transparent, and honest communication. And if you expect someone to behave a certain way towards you, you need to behave the same way towards them. And that's that respect and everything, and that mutual respect. And it is no different to managing staff and showing them how you respect them, how you value them, so that hopefully you get the same in return. And it just becomes very seamless when they update you with, this is where I'm at. This is what I need from you. Is there anything you need from me? And those are the kind of conversations that should be being had on the daily, the weekly catch-ups, whatever it might be. So, yeah.
And I think a key to that communication is actually being able to listen and understand what's being asked of you as a manager as well. Because I think a lot of problems from bad management, especially in my experience, is the feeling of not being heard and understood. There's a lot of give and take within that relationship between your staff. But again, I don't really like the hierarchy either. Very much if shit's going down, I roll my sleeves up and I am like, what are we doing to fix it? Let's come on, rally the troops type of thing. I am not one of those who sits on the sidelines going, right, you do this, you do this. I'm very much a part of the team.
And again, that's where that respect will come in from, because if you're there in the trenches with them, that's the best way to be. And again, lead by example. So, yeah, I love
Yeah.
that. East Saxon Training is a long-standing partner of the Office Management Group and a proud sponsor for this week's episode. David Hewitt, the owner of EST, has developed an excellent reputation among our office management members. He delivers firewarden training, office first aid training, and fire risk assessments, as well as general health and safety consultancy. And David's always happy to help with any health and safety related queries, especially within the office management portal. In 2023, East Saxon Training were voted by their customers as the Office Management Service Provider of the Year winner in our awards programme. And with over 200 five-star recommendations, you know you're in good hands with them. If you want to find out more about the support and services they offer, visit www.eastsaxontraining.com or find them in the Office Management portal. And thank you to East Saxon Training for supporting this podcast. So what is the most enjoyable thing about your role for you? Is it the management side? Is it any elements of the office management side? You said you really like these bigger events. It's funny, just to pedal back a set, where you said, I find the bigger events easier to do. I find the same in some ways. When I have smaller events, I just find they're just more niggly and annoying and, yeah.
Yeah, this for some reason, there's more things that can go wrong, but big events, it is basically just a room, people, food and drink. Like in my previous role, I used to manage a 2-day sales conference, which was, the first day was all presentations and bits of team building and stuff. And that was quite simple. But the second day, and because it was the second day, everyone stayed over, had a few to drink. So they were everyone was feeling a little bit worse for wear. We'd have like 50 plus suppliers on stands, very much like the office management show, where you have to coordinate it, but to make sure every salesperson saw every supplier, we had to do like a 5-minute speed dating timetable for everybody to work around. So that was a nightmare. That was a big event, but an absolute nightmare to organise. Being in the accountancy world, there's nothing like that. People just want to meet people. I can do that. Get them in a room, get some booze. We're good.
It's making me think Emma made sure I had a very good time in Manchester when we were up. So, yeah, I felt a little bit jaded coming back on the train the other week. But no more on that, people. So what is the most enjoyable element for you? Is it the events then, or is it something else?
It's the variety, to be honest. I like the fact that I can do a bit of events. I love doing the people management, but it's more people development for me. I like to get the best out of people and let them realise their own potential. I like when, I shouldn't say this and I'm going to touch wood here, I like when things go wrong now and again and you have to think on your feet and, yeah.
Get that cape on.
And as much as I'm organised and I like things to run smoothly, a bit of chaos now and again just gets your blood going, and I enjoy that.
I think that's why most of us find the comfort in these roles. And I think it was a guest early on, maybe in season one, who talked about like the comfy slippers and putting them back on when she'd come back to office management. And it is that. It is this, yeah, I've got autonomy, I've got flexibility, I've got variety, I've got the fact that I'm a people pleaser and I can do and fix and help and support, but you've also got people development. And I really love that perspective on it. I don't manage people, I develop people. And that's such a wonderful way to look at it, because it changes the whole hierarchy and the relationship, just having that mindset. So I think that's brilliant. And how did you find your way into this wonderful world of office management? What's been your journey to date, Emma?
My career started straight out of college and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I'd done a HND in business and information technology, which was basically using computers for business needs. And yeah, I had no idea. And I got this job. It was then called 3663. I couldn't even remember which order the numbers went in. And I sat in the interview. They were like, every question they asked me, it was like, can you do this? And I'd go, yeah. Can you do this? Yeah. And that's all I said all through the interview. Yeah. And then Off I went, and I thought, I haven't got that job. All I've said is yes. And they phoned me up and was like, we'd like to offer you the job. And I was like, yeah, okay, thanks.
Just another yes.
No idea. Just another yes. I was that brand new into admin. I didn't even know how to write a professional email. Like, I was green as they come. I think it was the fact of just managing your workload. And basically, there was different elements to the job. Like, we'd have to organize samples to customers, manage pricing. But I liked the organization side of it, just managing your own workload. And I think there was a moment I'd had a bit of a breakdown because I felt massively overwhelmed and my inbox was just disgusting. There was an experienced lady in the office and she took me under her wing and she said, right, have you thought about this? And she showed me how to categorize my emails using colors. And she said, and all them now, they're your 2 minute jobs. So you've got, however many 2 minute jobs, that's 30 minutes. And that gets rid of 30 emails in your inbox. Bang them off. And just seeing that, and it was like an absolute matrix moment for me, where he goes back with all the bullets flying, and I was like, oh, I've got this. So I did that for quite some time, and then I was asked to do a secondment on a team as a team leader. That was when I was absolutely terrible. I think I lasted about 6 weeks, but it affected my confidence, started not being good at my main job at the admin side. So I stepped back and I thought, maybe that's not for me. And it wasn't until a new controller started in the business and she'd asked for one-to-ones with people and said to me, you tried it as a team leader, but you stepped back, tell me about it. And I was like, oh, it was no good. Yeah, no, it weren't for me. And she said, but has anyone ever shown you how to manage people? Has anyone supported you through that? And I was like, no, I thought you was just expected to do it. And she said, no, how could you possibly know? So she said, if it comes up again, would you be interested, with the right support? And I said, absolutely. And I got the opportunity to actually pull together my own team within that business, which was, I absolutely loved it. It was all my own processes. I knew the job, I knew the business. I've got to put on a management course. And yeah, and I never looked back. Well, then I had babies and went on mat leave. So, but I had my babies on the bounce. So I was on mat leave, came back pregnant for about 3 months, and then was back on mat leave again. Seemed like a really good idea at the time, it wasn't. So that I came back and just went part-time and went back into admin because that's all my brain could cope with after having two babies and not working for about 18 months. And then a job came up. The job title was, it was very convoluted. It was a PA and secretarial manager and site excellence manager. So it was a three, I know, what a job title. What I know.
There's got to
So
be an acronym for that title somewhere, surely.
yeah, idiot. So I was PA to some senior management sales managers. I was the manager of the secretary team, and then I was responsible for health and safety. As part of that, they put me through my NEBOSH. I won't lie, I had no interest in health and safety. I thought it was the driest subject I could ever have. But it came with a pay rise, and I thought, I'll have that. And I tell you what, it really has stood me in good stead doing that. And I've enjoyed it more than I thought I would do. But it was effectively an office manager role. And I did that for 4 years until I got made redundant during COVID. And then I was like, oh, what do I do now? This is a, it's a, I could see it as an opportunity to go back and do, or I'll try something different. So I got a job with a small accountancy firm doing executive assistant role. I used that loosely. But it still had the office management element to it because it was a family run business. I did that for 12 months, just a little bit over, and then this job came up. So yeah, the majority of my career I did spend what started as 3663 and then they're now known as Bidfood.
I honestly, I've laughed so much during that. As our regular listeners will know, I always go on mute because I make so much noise otherwise with my like or am I laughing? But just the fact that you were like, I couldn't even remember how to say the name and get the numbers in the right order, and I just like, But the one thing that really shone through in all of that is that, especially the lady that asked about doing the team leader role again and having the development, is people make such a difference when people see something in you, especially when you're younger, because you don't always see it or know yourself well enough to be able to push yourself in that direction or present yourself in that way. So you were very fortunate that someone picked up on the skills and the personality that you had that was so fit for those kind of roles. And I think it's people like that that you will always remember and look back on. And I think that's probably the kind of leader you are now as well. Well, people will look back and think, Emma, really impacted me here, or Emma made that difference to me. And you'll remember that lady. And I certainly remember people in my career who just picked me up out of a group of 20 PAs and were like, you'd be good at this. And that just set my whole career path on a whole nother trajectory, because I was like, I didn't think I could do management or office management or whatever. It really makes a difference. What would you say is the most demanding part of your role and why?
It's probably the fact that you are middle management. You've got the expectation from your team and from everybody else in the office, to if anything goes wrong, you're the first port of call, but also from those managers above you and what comes down to you, that you have to then make sure is implemented and rolled out. You do tend to get it from all angles. There's no escaping that. That can be difficult at times.
It's a really good point, actually. Like, that's resonating a lot with me, because it's so true in these roles where you have so much exposure and access to so many people. And depending on where you report to, that can often be very senior C-suite executive types, or even the person at the top, which was the case in a lot of my most recent roles. But you're right, you're also dealing with people who are on the opposite side of that hierarchy, where, I was managing cleaners and the facilities team, the receptionists and things, who are often seen as lower level, junior, whatever, which I just all feel like is just, it frustrates me. But you are stuck in quite a rock and a hard place a lot of the time, where you're getting it, like you say, from all angles. And that is such a good point to raise, and I would imagine resonates with a lot of people that are listening to this episode as well.
And you often find those that are in the higher. Not all of them, I want to say, but there's a lot of people that are in, especially in professional services, that have had to get qualifications to get where they are and years of experience. But they often look at the admin role as just admin. And I know we've had this conversation before, and people then in that role believe that because of that perception. And it shouldn't be the case, because generally speaking, they wouldn't do their job as well as they do without the support of a good admin team, and making sure that's, especially when it comes to the business that I'm in with compliance and stuff, everything's got to be absolutely spot on. Otherwise, you leave yourself open to all sorts. It's difficult to manage that, both sides of the perception.
I always think of it as these building blocks in these roles, where if you took blocks away, like say you're the manager or you're the person with an assistant sitting on this wall a bit like a Humpty Dumpty, and you're at the top layer managing your clients and your work and whatever else of that top layer of bricks. But if you start pulling bricks out from the lower levels below where you're sitting, which are the administrative functions, which are the assistant functions, which are even the office management and receptionist functions and so on, that wall will very, very quickly collapse like a Jenga tower.
It's your infrastructure. It is entire, your admin is the managing of the building and the facilities and everything. It's your infrastructure. It's your footings of your house.
Yeah. 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 It is. You and your colleague, of course, came to the Office Management Awards earlier this year, Emma, in June. What was that experience like for you? It's the first time we met face to face, and I remember chatting to you just before you headed back up to North towards the end of the night, and you were so excited. Both of you were buzzing. And of course, you were highly commended for Office Manager of the Year as well, which was a nice bonus. But yeah, tell us about that.
Oh, it was just fantastic just to be in a room full of like-minded people. But the speeches, I mean, I remember your speech about you'd said something, Hannah, and it just resonated with
I
me. And I was
definitely
like,
said something.
yes, you did definitely say something. And no, it was about being called like where the magic happens, the magician. And
Yeah.
I thought, you're
I can bring my
absolutely
speech up quick now and we can check.
right. Yeah. Honestly, I thought you have absolutely hit the nail on the head. If I said to someone in practice in the accountancy world, "Oh, do your magic," it's like disregards completely the years of studying and experience and all that. And the same applies in our roles. We're just good at what we do because we've worked really hard to get there.
It's a really wonderful, appreciative night. And I don't know what makes it quite so special, but it is just, it's so harmonious. And this sounds so woo. It is just pure love in that room, isn't
Yes,
it? And
it is.
everybody just connects. And that empathy and that understanding of you see me, I see you, we understand what we do and how we've got
And
here.
it's really supportive. Like every person who won an award, the entire place like erupted. It was just so supportive and nice. Even the people who didn't get one, were like, "Oh, well done." It's just lovely. It were brilliant. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
So I recently shared a tip on the office move process, and I mentioned something which was the heads of terms, or HOTs as they're often called. So for this episode's tip, I thought I'd go into that in a little bit more detail and share more about the purpose of those. Now, the heads of terms, albeit they are contractual, they're not legally binding in the sense that if you choose not to go ahead with that property and that commercial lease for any reason, there isn't really too much recourse in terms of the landlord coming to you for any monies at that stage. It's the lease that is the more legally binding document and contract that will see you in a little bit of hot water if you try and get out of that at any time prior to any breaks or termination rights. So the heads of terms will generally be put together by the real estate agent acting on behalf of the landlord, or the landlord's sort of managing agent, so the people that manage and run the buildings on their behalf and arrange for service charge collections and rent collections and arrange for utility bills to be sent out and paid, etc., etc. So one of those parties, as I say, typically the landlord's agent, will produce a high-level heads of terms with the provisions and amounts, etc., that have been agreed in the negotiations running up to you accepting the terms, essentially, of the lease, the high-level terms of the lease and the property that you're looking to take. They'll include things like your price per square foot, or your rent per square foot or square meter, depending on whereabouts you're based, because we use square feet generally over here in the UK, but I know a number of countries around the world use square meter. It will include the size of the office, so again in square meters or square feet, and therefore demonstrate what your annual rental payments and commitment will be. It will talk about your rent-free periods, potentially a rent commencement date. So if you are delaying the commencement date because they're allowing you a little bit of free access whilst you complete your fit out, that will all be detailed in there. It will talk about the service charge and what that is, again on a per square foot or per square meter basis, and any rental or service charge payment due dates, which are usually quarterly in advance, and there's some specific dates here in the UK that these tend to fall on for whatever reason. And then it will also talk about any inclusions or exclusions. So inclusions might be things like, again, rent-free periods where you get, 6 months rent-free in your first 6 months of the term, or you may get 6 months now and 6 months after your 5 year point if you're signing a 10 year lease and you don't use your option to break at that point. So you might get another 6 months rent-free beyond the 5 year point. So all of these things that will have been negotiated on your behalf. It might include things like carpet tile allowances if they have quoted to give you a certain amount of money per, again, square meter or square
square foot towards putting carpet in there if it is a Cat A space at present. It may well talk about electrical boxes and allowance for what we would call floor box allowance or electrical box allowance in there. And again, either a sort of fixed sum or a sum per square foot. It might talk about a cash sum. So on completion of the lease, some leases these days give a lump sum back in cash. It might be £20,000 or something. It really does vary depending on negotiations. It may talk about a cash sum or a percentage or something covered towards your fit out costs. There is a whole array of things that can be included in these, but it's really important that you, especially if you're involved in this project, have sight of those, are comfortable with the terms, are comfortable with what's been agreed. You make a note of that, and then you've got some high level things to know and understand for as and when you get that property. And that is our heads of terms or HOTs. Hope that's been useful.
Right, let's hear from your office manager diary now. You won't believe it, but moment, please.
Warning, this extract from Emma's diary is probably not one to listen to whilst you are eating lunch. Enjoy.
So, like all offices, most office managers have experienced, we have had issues with people not behaving as they should do in the toilets and leaving them how you would expect them to be found. And it's been an ongoing issue, and I've tried the nice approach. I've been very blunt and direct. I've even threatened to shut the toilets off completely. So there was one day where I was sat in the office and one of the partners came to find me, and he said, "You're not going to believe this, Emma. Someone's made a right mess in the men's toilets." And I was like, "Oh, no, not again." And he said, "I think they've been sick." I was like, "Right, okay." So I went and it was the men's toilet. So we went in and had a look. And it looked like someone had vomited all over the sinks. It was up the mirrors. It was just disgusting. I was like holding my hand over my mouth and trying not to like contribute to it, to be fair. So I was like, who could do this? Why do they not clean up after themselves? What is wrong with people? But then also the fact that if someone's that violently ill, they shouldn't be here. They need to go home. So I went and spoke with all the managers around the building to see if there was anyone on the team that might look a bit peaky. And they're all going, no, I can't think. And obviously it was a bloke. And they're like, no, there's no one on our team. So me and the partner, he convened in one of the offices and we were like, who could it possibly be? They're really not well. They need to go home. And we was looking out the window and realised that the guy was on site, serviced the air conditioning. So I was like, it might be the air conditioning guy. So we was discussing about what we're going to say to him. Because obviously, if you say to someone, have you done this? They'll be embarrassed and be like, no, that's not me. So I said, I'll just go and see if he looks a bit, you know, waxy looking, like he's been poorly. And just be like, are you all right, hon? Are you feeling okay? So to try and suss it out. And then I thought, I'll just wing it and see how it goes from there, judging on what the response was. And just as I was about to leave the office, one of my team came up and were like, you're not going to believe this. The same as happened in the ladies' toilets.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what? And I went in and it was like, I'm sorry if you're eating, it was like chunks in the sink. And you know, you're like, what is going on? We've got a pandemic. Like, people, we need to evacuate. This is not right. So I was really confused. So I put the aircon guy on hold for a minute because I thought, this can't be an isolated, it's not an isolated incident. So as it transpires, and my team didn't tell me, another contractor had turned up to clean the guttering on the roof. And what had happened is he'd been sweeping on the roof. It had gone down the drains, hit the bottom, like down three floors, hit the bottom and pushed the water up, and it had come up through the sinks and looked like, and I was about to approach the aircon guy saying,
you're right, hon.
You all right, hon? I thought it was, if I'd have done that, I'd have been a right idiot. So, yes,
so
thankfully, no one was poorly that day. It was just the drains.
You didn't have a pandemic or an epidemic going on. Just had the drain dude in. I mean, God, you'd think that they would put something in place for that, because that is really vile if these bits are like coming out of the sinks. And you'd think they'd like put a precursor on that, by the way, my visit is going to. It's like when your neighbour cuts the tree down, like the courtesy and the etiquette is to let trees or bushes down or whatever, to let you know, because there's about to be a shitload of leaves in your garden. Like, why would you not communicate that?
When I spoke to him, the drain guy, and he said, I genuinely didn't think that would happen. He said it was just flushing it through. I didn't know that was going to happen. I was like, I thought I was going to about to send everyone home. I thought we had like a severe sickness bug in the office.
Oh God, so funny. I just love when you were like, I'm just going to go up to him and be like, you all right, hun? Looking a bit waxy. Do like a bit of a litmus test.
Yeah. I didn't know what else to do, to be fair.
These office management roles bring us these wonderful gifts day in, day out, don't they?
They absolutely do. And the toilets are just the gift that keep on giving.
So I know on LinkedIn you've engaged with some posts recently from Lucy Brazier OBE, who is incredible at shining a light on business operations and the world that we're in. Why do you think it is that people don't give it that respect? We've talked about this a little bit already in the episode today, but why do people not give it that respect, give it that acknowledgement that it deserves by default? There was this whole just an admin hashtag going around around COVID times, I think it was. And why do we have to work so hard to educate people on these roles, particularly in my experience within office management?
I think it's because it's generally a lower paid role for quite a hefty job. People have got away with that. I think when someone tells you you're only this, then you believe it. And I think it's believing in yourself and understanding your own worth and being confident in your abilities to be able to push those boundaries. The tides have changed somewhat. There's a lot of managers who I work with now who absolutely value the role. But there's still a core number of people who want. I heard someone recently refer to admin as low-level clerical workers. And I just thought, wow. But this same person struggles to, you know, make a Word document nice. In all honesty, I don't know if it's an easy fix, but it is something that I'm really passionate about. And I think Lucy has done an amazing job in bringing it to the forefront of people's minds.
And I think that's the thing that will shift it. You know, it's like with anything, to make waves, to make changes, to change attitudes, change perceptions, you've got to keep talking about it. And people have to be comfortable to bring it to the table and challenge the status quo, as it were. And that's the only way that, you know, and you can't change everybody, you can't control people. But if we change our attitudes towards the role, that's the first step, isn't it? To say, I am not just an admin, actually, this is everything I do. And that's the first few steps there.
Yeah, people within the roles, we were saying before about when you're people managing within the role, I think to lead that forward as well is to actually look at your team and encourage them to be hot on your heels and say, you know, I've got all this knowledge, this experience, ask me questions, use it, and not be afraid and not feel threatened by that because you think that being an office manager is the ceiling. When it's not, you can go further. Let's break out of the mould. I do think a lot of it depends on the office manager's perception of their own role and where they want to go. I mean, if they're happy doing that, it's a fantastic job, I love it, then that's fine. But don't stop people from wanting that as well by, say, just admin. It's encouraging people to be the very best they can be.
Yeah. 100%. Let's go now. We've talked about the kind of ceiling being the limit. What does the future hold for you? What's in the future for you? And what are your aspirations? You've come so far in your career, despite the babies that always interrupts our career and puts it on hold for a while. What's it looking like for you? What do you want to achieve?
Ideally, I would like to be in a role where I still have some people management responsibility. I enjoy that. I do really enjoy making processes better, looking at the efficiencies. Are we doing the best we possibly can? Constantly looking at the ever-evolving changes that happen in a business and being able to adapt with that. And things being process-driven and not people-driven, because then once you've taken the person out of a process, it opens them up to be able to explore other things as well that you may not have thought of. So I don't know what that role's called. I don't know whether it's going more into an operational role, but yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, love it. And to finish on then, finally, Emma, what have been your hurdles to overcome in your office management career? And what advice would you share for anyone who's facing similar challenges?
I think the biggest hurdle is probably believing in yourself, having the faith and the value of yourself that you know you're doing a good job. And if you're not, if there's something that you're not that quite good at, work on that to develop yourself, because once you understand your own worth, you don't feel threatened by anyone. You can successfully manage a team because you're not scared that they're going to take your job, or you can challenge your management to say, this could be better, let's work on something. So yeah, that I think that has been my biggest challenge. It's probably been me throughout the years.
You're your biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
The podcast I listened to, a lady called Carrie Green, who is the founder of the Female Entrepreneur Association, and I've had coaching with her and her team and things, and she talks a lot about getting out of your own way.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you probably had to learn to do that then.
Yeah, absolutely. And letting people dictate what they think you're worth because it fits into a business plan. No, I'm not in a business plan. I'm me and I'm worth it.
L'Oreal. Hopefully I don't have to sued for that tag at the end. Emma, I have really loved recording this with you. Thank you so much for coming on the Office Manager
Diary. It's been great. Thank you.
I will see you soon.
Absolutely.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple to use, all-in-one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.